everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with Ray Allen, producing and engineering our show today on the other side of the glass. Together, we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Wednesday, the 23rd of March, 2016. Hope the week is going pretty well for you so far. We're coming to you live from AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice. We're live streaming at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. We've got podcasts and our complete show archive available 24/7 for you at buckmastershow.com. We have links to the Buckmaster Show on the home pages of the TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun, TucsonLifestyle.com, and Southern Arizona News Examiner, all supporting the Buckmaster Show with links to our program on their home pages. The Buckmaster Show live line is open for you, 790-2040, for your calls, your questions, and your suggestions. We invite you to become a friend of the Buckmaster Show on our Facebook page. In addition, you can follow us on Twitter at Buckmaster Show. We're going to be talking about some of these suggestions that a citizens group has put forward for changes to the Tucson Charter and the way we elect people. Paul Cunningham will speak with us about that. Comet Discoverer Dr. David Levy at 12:30. Then we'll meet the creator of the Grammy Award-nominated group that's based in Tucson. They're known as True Concord Voices and Orchestra. The Charter Review Committee proposing several changes to the city charter, which is essentially Tucson's constitution. The charter can only be changed with voter approval. Becky Palick, writing in the Star, outlined the two proposed options for changing the election, and both are variants on ward-only elections. That's what the current situation is, where the city has party primaries in each ward and then citywide general elections. So the two proposals, real quickly before we hear what Paul Cunningham has to say about it, the ward-only elections, each of the city's six wards would have party primary elections and general elections. The mayor would continue to be elected citywide, so a voter would elect his or her own council member and the mayor instead of six members and the mayor. With ward-only plus two system, primary and general elections would be held in each ward, but the mayor plus two additional council members would be elected citywide. So a voter would elect three council members and the mayor. A council majority vote would change to 5 of 9 instead of 4 of 7. Now let's welcome Paul Cunningham to the program. Mr. Cunningham, how are you today?
Hey, Bill. Thanks for having me on.
What do you think of these two proposals that are going to be put forth to you and your colleagues?
I think they're both fine proposals. They definitely take into account what people want. I think, my biggest issue with this whole process is that at the end of the day, it's pretty transparent that Republicans want more power in city government, so they're trying to get this on the ballot. That's fine. Be careful what you wish for, and again, it may get voted down.
And it's come up. We've had city voters consistently have rejected ward-only elections, voting them down in 1975, 1991, and 1993, while more recent initiative campaigns in 98, 2001, and 2003 failed to even make it onto the ballot. Would you think one of these will make it onto the ballot?
It's tough to say. I can't speak for all my colleagues on where they're at on this. I'm sure that there'll be some semblance of an initiative. It depends on what the federal court does as well. But, you know, there's a case up on appeal, and the bottom line is the federal court says we have to change the system. I don't have a problem with that. I think the idea of having some at-large members, keeping some spirit of the hybrid, which was the original charter of Tucson, is probably a better option. But we'll see kind of what, you know, how it plays out. It's a little early to see what the nuances are and kind of figure that out. Maybe we should contract down to four wards, you know, and not have nine council members. So, again, it's a complicated process, but I think the final product will be something that hopefully will serve Tucson the best way.
How about this removing limits on the city's sales, limits on the city tax rates?
Well, on the property and on property taxes, I'm not really a proponent of that. I don't think we need to raise property taxes. We have a built-in property tax increase mechanism every year. As far as being able to raise the city sales tax, again, Tucson doesn't have a rental tax. We don't have a utility. We have a lower utility tax, no rental tax, no food tax, and no advertising tax. We also have, most counties have at least a one penny sales tax. The total sales tax you pay in Tucson is some of the lowest in the state, and we only have a 2 cent sales tax, where a lot of other cities, including several in our county, have 2.5 cent sales tax. So the big thing is that I'd like to see us bump to that 2.5 cents. I'd like to see a shift where the lion's share of that funding is dedicated to core services. I think that would probably help. It would reduce some of the infighting we have between departments every budget year, and we'll see if that package is introduced to the voters. Just raising the limitations on property taxes, I think, is a mistake.
All right, couple of calls. Jim Kelly will be first on this particular topic. Hey, Jim.
Hey, good afternoon. You know, Paul, one of the things that irritates Republicans is when Democrats try to tell us what they think is best for us. And I really resent it, and almost entirely the entire Republican Party resents it. Number two, this hybrid system that you guys are proposing is simply to poison pill the something at the ballot again so it gets voted down. Every time it's been voted down, there was always some other poison pill on the ballot to make sure that ward-only elections never happen. So let's keep that in mind. And, you know, I got to tell you, there's a revolution going on. Whether we like it or not, there is a revolution going on. And it would be wise for the city council to start doing what they're supposed to be doing, as been told by the court. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Paul Cunningham?
Look, I appreciate that. I appreciate, first of all, I love Jim Kelly, so it's all good. I appreciate what he's trying to tell me. But again, I'm just saying that no matter how you look at it in politics, everybody's going to accuse somebody that's a power play. We do that all the time. Why don't we go past that and go, all right, what can we do to make the city work? Look, if we're going to go ward only, fine, whatever. But the bottom line is that be careful what you wish for. There's so many, and I've tried to say that like 800 different ways and in different times. And if the rules were reversed, other people would be crying about the rules. And that's how it goes. I mean, at the state level, we get hammered by having too many Democrats in this town. So when we start, you know, you want to make it about Democrat or Republican, or you say that it isn't, or you say that you resent the idea that it isn't, don't, because it is. And that's okay. That's what politics is. But the bottom line is that I'm just trying to run a better city, man. And
right.
I appreciate what he's trying to say, but at the end of the day, that's kind of what all this is. It's still a power grab. You can't say that it isn't.
Okay, here is Mr. Tom is our next caller with Councilman Cunningham. Hey, Tom.
Hi, Paul. Is there going an increase in the fee to take a ride on the Sun Van disability bus service?
All right.
I don't think there's a fee built into that. We kind of had that discussion last year. We're actually looking at Sunvan. Sunvan is incurring some costs that they probably don't need to be incurring, and we'd like to see some efficiencies with that specific service. Again, you're talking about the population of people that are at the mercy of the most elements, and they're probably the most vulnerable by far piece of the population. So as far as increasing the Sunvan fare, I'm not sure if that proposal is in there. If it is, it's like 1%, a dime or something, but it's not going to go. Remember, we had that proposal a couple of years ago that would go from $2 to $3.50 a ride or something. I don't think we're going to do anything like that. There may be a fare increase across the board for all the transit, and it just depends how it's structured. It depends on whether or not we're going to base things on on a base fare and have an algorithm that basically sets all fares and then increase or decrease the base fare changes it, or if we're actually going to try to nickel and dime it and have this weird fare structure like we have now where you can't just make it, you know, it needs to be better governable, and we don't have that right now. So we'll see kind of how that discussion plays out, but for now, I can tell you that I have not seen any proposal about the Sundance fare.
All right, coming up on 12:15, Councilman Cunningham will stick around for another segment, 790-2040, if you would like to join in the conversation. Today's the birthday celebration for one of my favorite places, Vero Amore, celebrating its 10th year. And to honor Vero Amore and all of the patrons who have supported that wonderful restaurant over at Plaza Palomino and at their Dove Mountain location, champagne and cake. Eric and Josh Musman, the owners, will be on hand tonight. And it's the original menu items tonight, along with the original items. Their menu will feature original pricing from 10 years ago. That's actually going on through the end of March. But stop by. I'll be there tonight. Say hello. And Vero Amore, happy birthday at age 10.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
You're invited to the 2016 Better Business Bureau Torch Awards on May 5th at Casino del Sol Resort from 6:30 to 8 o'clock p.m. We'll be announcing the winners of this year's awards in community service, customer excellence, and ethics. Our keynote speaker is Congresswoman Martha McSally. Join us as we celebrate Tucson's business community. It is the business event of the year. Register now at bbb.org/Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
This new year opens up a world of possibilities. So how about making your vacation dreams a reality? For more than 40 years, Bon Voyage Travel has advised our clients on virtually every detail of their travel planning. Whether it's a luxury cruise, African safari, romantic beach getaway, or perhaps a journey off the beaten path, we work hard to make the most out of your investment. So all you have to do is just pack your bags. To get started, call Bon Voyage Travel today at 797-1110.
Twelve 20 Pacific time here on the Buckmaster Show in Tucson, Arizona. The name of the show, my last name, Buckmaster, on AM 1030 KVOI. And you can stream us at KVOI.com and BuckmasterShow.com. City Councilman Paul Cunningham is with us on the live line, and so is Matthew, who has been waiting very patiently. Hello, Matthew. Hi, Matthew.
Hey, Paul, if I understood the mayor and the city manager last night, the city manager gave you guys two options. He gave you an overview of proposed cuts and a second option of proposed revenues options, like taxes and things like that. But the mayor asked him if you all implemented the cuts as he outlined them to you, and I know this is early right now, you wouldn't have to use the second option, which is tax increases, assuming you didn't you were able to get those savings. Did it look good to you overall? And to avoid having to
seek revenues? Yeah, so there's two sides. Yeah, there's two sides to it: new revenues and cost avoidance. Some of the cost avoidance we can't do. I mean, there's just certain things that even if I agreed with it personally, there's not four votes to do it. So some of those cost avoidance things are off the table. On the other side, on the new revenues, some of those we can't do. I mean, there's no political will. Even if somebody agreed with it, we're not going to have an advertising tax instituted in the city of Tucson. It's just not going to happen. So it'll be a hybrid to get to that $25 million mark, which is probably more like a $19 million mark. Long term, I think our biggest thing is, we probably need to take a look at our health insurance plan. I think that there's about $8 or $9 million in savings or cost avoidance that we can actualize there in the next few fiscal years. So that's one of the ones I'm looking at. The other one is, again, I think the big hot button yesterday was talking about some of the business growth. And if we can get that aerospace sector a couple more tools, especially the CBD and the GPLUT, maybe we'll get a little farther on seeing that bump in revenue. So, look, $25 million, I've seen bigger deficits before. I think we've done a good job being responsible, closing the gap, as a lot of people don't realize. We've taken the number of city employees from 6,000 to under 4,500 over the last 5 years, and that wasn't eliminating public safety positions. So we've operated usually right around 900, 955 police officers with a budget of possibility of 1,000. We're going to be a bit lower for 6 or 8 months, but as we replenish the force, we'll be back to full strength. We've always operated between 620 and 650 firefighters, which is where we'll be at. So I'm pretty confident with the streamlining we've done on the other parts of the government, and some of the things that we've instigated a few years ago, like privatizing golf, privatizing TCC, have started to bear some fruit. Also, some of the long-term street maintenance, you know, we had all that immediate street maintenance, but we put those bonds in, renewed some roads. So the amount of the backlog of fixing of upkeep maintenance has gone down a little bit. So some of these things are kind of happening, and that progress is there. I'm pretty confident that we'll have a responsible package that we'll vote on come June.
Why did this even come up about a tax on advertising? Is that something that was brought forward from maybe city staff?
Probably. I mean, again, here's the thing. This is what happens when you have a discussion and you say, all options are on the table. Well, all right, all options are on the table. And really, you really want to say, all options are on the table with an asterisk by, except the ones that you know have no chance. And kind of leave those, just write those off right away. I mean, I wish we'd do it that way. Again, when we talk about rental taxes and advertising taxes, it's just not even good. It's just not good business. So we've got to be smart with that type of stuff. But, you know, like I said, that's why I think putting a sales tax on there, kind of, it's the great equalizer. Also, we have an opportunity to restructure some of the sales tax. Maybe a half cent could be dedicated to parks. It would never, we'd never have it compete in the general fund again, and parks would get what they get every year, and it wouldn't be up to the council. It would be part of the structure we have. Or you could make the whole 2.5 cents go to public safety, and that's what they get. And they wouldn't have to fight with any of the parts of the budget for the rest of the year. The numbers are pretty congruent to stuff like that. But, you know, that's kind of the discussion that we have to have and let it resonate. And everybody's going to have their own 2 cents on how that should work. But we've got to have something. If you're going to put an extra half cent on to the voters, you've got to be able to explain where that money's going to go and what good it's going to do.
So has the Tucson Cherry Bell Mail Processing Center been delayed for at least a year?
I think the delay is actually unforeseeable. I think that the delay is actually going to be a lot longer than that.
Good.
I mean, there's a lot of bureaucratic things that will the postmaster now has to completely restructure his criteria or her criteria for closing major offices. There were major offices in different locations that served less people than Cherry Bell did. And all of a sudden, especially with the two military installations, people are going, wait a minute, we don't want to run to Phoenix. That's, you know, that was costing Echuca 3 hours on certain documents. That's going to cost Davis-Monthan. And all of a sudden, people are going, wait a minute, this doesn't really make a lot of sense. I think basically common sense actually prevailed once in the federal government. And we've got to thank Richard Fimbres. He's done a great job. He's been a stalwart in showing leadership and in bringing the right people into the room, going across the aisle to make sure that we had unfettered support for the Cherry Bell location.
What did they say at the meeting last night about the current thinking on the red ink in the budget? Is it $25 million?
It's about the number's about $25 million. Like I said, I've seen worse before. And again, there is a myriad of proposals out there that can get us to the 25 and there's things we can do short term and both long term. From a sustainable standpoint, I think the lion's share can come out of that with some savings on our healthcare plan.
People worry though when they see these headlines about the fire chief proposing nearly 5 million cuts to help shrink the city shortfall. Of course, people worry.
But the lion's shares of his cuts are coming from the fire inspection side, and they'll still be employees. They'll just be civilian employees.
Yeah.
We're not closing any stations. We're losing one low call rescue truck. I got to admit, the chief stepped up and really, you know, he really showed some courage because it's not popular. Look, no one wants to close a fire station or reduce coverage ever. We have one of the best fire departments and some of the best firefighters in the world. I'm proud to call. I'm proud to know them, and I think they serve the city very well. We want to continue that level of excellence. If we can avoid some of those cuts in the fire department, great. But moving the inspection side to the civilian side and working with developmental services might be even a better solution on that.
What did you think of Chief Magnus, the TPD chief's plan for reorganization?
I think his reorganization is going to really increase visibility and patrol. You know, with some of the major crimes, we've got some worries. But I think, again, we've done very well, overwhelmingly well, with detective work for a long time. And we're well-equipped in those areas. So I think the shift to patrol is a good shift. I think it'll help Tucson customer service. I think it'll increase response times. And this was one of the things that was happening. Patrol was basically, for and not incrementally, not some one evil chief made a decision or anything like that. Just incrementally, patrol kind of got left out of the talk for a long time, and so this was a long time coming. It's a good policy shift, and I support the chief's efforts.
Yeah, the chief had talked about reorganizing downtown patrolling as well, a lot of the cops on bikes. What did you think of that?
Again, I think it he's looking at efficiencies. He's looking at force readiness and use of manpower, and I think these decisions are sound. This is the type of model that he's been able to implement in other cities he's worked in. And, you know, he's going to look for taking care of our officers, trying to get as many boots on the ground as we can, and I think that's laudable. And I have high confidence in our chief. He made some very bold moves in his first 90 days.
All right. We'll let you get back. You're at school, right?
No, it's spring break.
Oh, it's spring break. All right. All right. Enjoy the rest of your spring break. Councilman Cunningham, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me. Have a
all
great
right.
day.
That's right. Paul Cunningham with us, 12:30 on The Buckmaster Show. We'll take a break right here. Then Comet Discoverer Dr. David Levy on the live line right after this.
Hey, I'm Dr. Kevin Lehman from 5-Star Termite and Pest Control. You got bugs? They driving you up the wall? I'm telling you, you will not be sorry. You call my friend Shelby Hawkins at 886-0045. They are more than competent. They're very economical. And check this out. They're friendly to our environment. 886-0045.
We're 5-Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
Local Tucson business, American Openings, is pleased to be a sponsor of Gospel Rescue Mission. They're on a mission to restore lives that are afflicted by homelessness, hopelessness, and addiction. Each day, the Gospel Rescue Mission in Tucson houses, feeds, and ministers to hundreds of men, women, and children. Gospel Rescue Mission, where homelessness ends and lives are restored. You can learn more at grmtucson.com. American Openings is proud to support Gospel Rescue Mission.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the news from a different perspective. Local opinion from Emil Franzi, Bill Richardson, and Bruce Ash. Our national columnists are the best. Michael Barone, Thomas Sowell, Ilan Berman, Avik Roy, Bill Tatro, and A View from the Left with Sam Smith of Progressive Review. Plus, Michael Ramirez political cartoons. It is thoughtful opinion and commentary only found in the Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Catman and Superdog want you to be a superhero for homeless pets for Arizona Gives Day. Make your donation to the Humane Society of Southern Arizona at hssaz.org/azgives and help us fight the evils of pet abandonment and animal cruelty. Arizona Gives Day is April 5th. Donate now at hssaz.org/azgives.
The Regional Transportation Authority is funding new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The 20-year RTA plan also includes roadway improvement projects and transit service enhancements to get you where you want to go. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region safer and more accessible. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Hey, honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us as we talk with the Sonoran government's director of tourism. Plus, we'll meet the folks behind the successful Bridge Rescue Animal Program. Buckmaster Live, noon to 1 on Tucson's Voice, AM 1030 KVOI. We've got live streaming podcasts and our complete show archive on my website. That's buckmastershow.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, where it's 12:35. This portion presented by Green Things. They've got roses, 5-gallon containers. I love their roses over at Green Things, $29.95. I have bought over the years many, at least more than a dozen. I think 13 is called a baker's dozen of roses, and they're all doing well. And you can buy them yourself and check it out at Green Things, just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, 3384 East River. They're now expanded to 13 acres. Great location. GreenThingsAZ.com. Let's welcome now to the live line Dr. David Levy, the Buckmaster Show contributor on science, the former science editor of Parade Magazine. He's now head of and founder of Sharing the Sky Science Education Organization, and he is, of course, one of the most successful comet discoverers in history. Dr. Levy, I presume.
Yes, well, pleasure to be here, Mr. Buckmaster. It is good to hear your voice every month.
What's going on with this dynamic duo of comets over the past two nights that have flown by Earth in a big hurry?
They're in a big hurry, but the thing is, they may be the closest comets in centuries that have come near to the Earth. However, Bill, they are both very faint. And I haven't seen either of them yet, although as soon as the moon leaves the night sky, I hope to take a look at the brighter of the two of them in a couple of days from now. I tried to find it last week, but it was too far south. It's quite bright, but it's very diffuse, so it's very hard to see. The closest comet that ever approached the Earth was about 65 million years ago, when a comet actually collided with the Earth. And I was living here, but the there was no air conditioning at the time.
Yeah,
and I had to be careful of the dinosaurs, and they kind of came, and I had one as a pet for a while. It was a lot of fun. But in any event, that comet destroyed all of the dinosaurs, but it kept me.
Yes, there you go. Are these twins? These of a sort?
They are sharing very close to the same orbit, and it is believed that even though they are not close together in the sky, they were once the same comet. And one of them, the smaller one, called Comet Pan-STARRS, probably got knocked off the larger one called Comet Linear sometime in the past.
One of our Facebook friends, whose first name shares your first name, David, would like me to ask you about the intense auroras that have been seen on Jupiter, I guess, from some spectacular solar storms.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? Because the actual sunspot activity lately hasn't been all that great. It's been pretty good, but not that good to provide a real aurora. But one thing that the latest news about this northern light display on Jupiter did not mention is that this isn't the first time we've seen this. In 1994, during the impact of the K fragment from Comet Shoemaker-Levy 9, that produced a beautiful Jovian aurora on the opposite hemisphere of Jupiter.
The comet collided with the southern hemisphere, but the aurora was seen on the northern hemisphere of Jupiter because of the interaction with Jupiter's enormous magnetic field.
March 23rd, special day to you?
It sure is. On March the 23rd, 1963, I was at the Jewish National Home for Asthmatic Children in Denver, and I went outside and I drew a sketch of the Milky Way as seen that night from Denver. March 23rd, 1990 was my first successful observation of a star which is now known as Clyde's Tombaugh star, a periodic recurring nova, which I've seen on many other nights. I actually saw that again on March 23rd, 2000. On March 23rd, 1993, I co-discovered Comet Shoemaker-Levy 9,
wow,
which actually collided with Jupiter. March 23rd, 1997, my wife Wendy and I were married, so that makes today our 19th anniversary. And so that has become one of the most important days in my life.
Yeah.
On March 23rd, 2016, you and I are having our interview.
Boy, I did not realize that today is the anniversary of course, the famous collision, the comet Shoemaker-Levy 9.
Yeah, not the collision, but the discovery.
The discovery.
Comet.
Okay. The date of the collision was when?
July 16th to 20th. 21st, 1994.
Oh, okay. But today was the discovery of what would go on to really make history.
Yeah, and that was interesting that week because I was actually able to have my first meeting with a sitting president of the United States.
Really?
That was President Clinton.
Huh.
We got to meet that day.
Very cool. Time for the David Levy Buckmaster Show monthly quote.
Well, it's a very short one this month. It's only four words, and in English they mean, I love the night sky. Ego deligo in nocte caelum.
And that is from where?
That is, actually, it's from me, because I love the night sky, and I just translated it into Latin. Ego deligo in nocte caelum.
Very nice. Getting back to how folks know that, you know, you go back to March 23rd, 1963, you have been an avid diarist. You keep a diary. When did that begin for you?
It began in 1958.
Wow.
And the diaries, the personal journals have joined the observing logs. They are now at the Linda Hall Library of Science. Where anybody can see them if they're visiting.
Wow. All right, David. Any solar activity like solar eclipses coming up that you're going to be traveling to?
Not until August 2017, when there will be a total eclipse of the sun, and that eclipse will be in the United States, and Wendy and I will be in Madras, Oregon, to see it. However, as far as lunar eclipse goes, there was a penumbral eclipse of the moon last night that I stayed up to see, and I barely detected it, but it was there.
All right. We are into the spring season. Anything quickly that you could tell us about in the night sky?
Well, there'll be the Lyrid meteor shower coming up at the end of April, and a couple weeks after that, the Eta Aquarii meteors, which come from Halley's Comet. And plus, there may be in the next few days a surprise meteor shower from these two close-by comets we talked about, although I'm not holding my breath for that.
All right.
Yeah.
I hear the bell chiming. That's going to do it for David Levy. David,
okay.
Thank you very much. My best to your lovely wife, Wendy.
Okay, I'll pass that on to her. Thank you so much, Bill.
Congratulations on March 23rd.
Thanks, and we'll talk again in April.
Thanks a lot. David Levy with us on the Buckmaster Show. I always enjoy, and I know many of our listeners do too, hearing from a man who is certainly, I guess you could say, a Renaissance man, a wealth of information, the famous, renowned comet discoverer, David Levy. 1244 on Buckmaster. We will be right back. Thank you.
Hi, this is Ken Flower with Arizona Party Rental. We are proud to provide everything Arizona Wildcat fans need to enjoy the game. And here to tell you all about it is a very familiar voice.
Hey, it's Brian Jeffries, voice of the Wildcats. Make the right call and do what the Cats do. Call Arizona Party Rental for your next special event.
Thanks, Brian. Man, wait until everybody finds out what we have in the works, like our Monteverde Grill. It's a gourmet kitchen on wheels, a five-star restaurant, and our new high-tech selfie photo booth. Learn more online at ArizonaPartyRental.net.
Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com. The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions work together to deliver regional transportation improvements that are funded by the RTA's 20-year plan. So far, more than 700 transportation improvements have been completed, like enhanced transit services, new bike lanes and sidewalks, expanded roadways, and new traffic signal technologies. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, this portion presented by our friends over in Silver City and Grant County. We send so many of the Buckmaster Show listeners over there, and everybody comes back saying, I had no idea. It's such a neat place. mile-high elevation over in that southwest corner of New Mexico. Delightful, historic Silver City, just 3 hours east of Tucson. You can go hiking in the Gila National Forest. You can go up to the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument or just hang out in historic Silver City. And lots of places to stay, like Agave Ridge Retreat and Cottage of Whispering Canyon. Full listing of places to stay and the many things to do on their fine website, Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, and that's Southwest New Mexico. .org. Grammy Award nominated True Concord Voices and Orchestra, formerly Tucson Chamber Arts, is a Southern Arizona professional chamber choir and orchestra that is really garnering all sorts of international reputation as being a real up-and-comer in the chamber music world. Founded in 2004 by music director Eric Holton, True Concord enriches lives through the transformation power of classical music through the performance of masterworks and the diverse music of America. Eric joins me now in studio, and we'll be discussing True Concord's final concert of its showcase season. But before we talk about that final concert, congratulations, Eric, to you and your group with the Grammys.
Thanks so much, Bill. It's really great to be here. And yeah, the Grammys were amazing. They describe the Grammys as music's biggest night.
It is.
I can tell you it certainly lives up to its reputation, having been there.
The nominations are in what category?
Well, we were nominated in two categories, Best Choral Performance, and we also garnered a nomination in Best Classical Contemporary Composition. And that was for the primary work on our album, which we commissioned of composer Stephen Paulus for the 10th anniversary of 9/11. It's called Prayers and Remembrances. We premiered it right here in Tucson at UA's Centennial Hall on September 11th, 2011. And then we recorded it along with previously unrecorded works of Stephen Paulus's 2 years later in 2013 at Catalina Foothills High School. It was a great experience. It's always a wonderful experience working with a real live composer on his or her music and being able to have him there guide us through the process of the premiere, but also the recording. The great tragedy of this story was that just 6 weeks after we recorded the album in May of 2013, Mr. Paulus had a massive stroke from which he never recovered, and ultimately he died in 2014. There's a happy ending, though, and in just this past September, we had the great fortune of performing that piece, Prayers and Remembrances, along with Mozart's Requiem, in Alice Tully Hall at Lincoln Center in New York on September 11th. So it was part of my vision some time ago that we would premiere that piece for the 10th anniversary of 9/11. We would record it and get it out to the world, and then we wanted to take it to the city most impacted on that fateful day in 2001. And it was a very emotional occasion, as you can imagine, to be performing that work in the heart of that city where it was most affected by 9/11 on another anniversary of 9/11. And that also happened to be the day that we released our album. And so as we were performing in Lincoln Center, it was airing on radio stations across the country, WFMT in Chicago, I mean, up in Phoenix here and all over the place, Minnesota Public Radio, which was really cool. It ascended to number 5 on the Billboard chart,
wow,
which
that
was
is
just
fantastic.
Blew my mind. And then we got the Grammy nominations.
True Concord, the name comes from?
It comes from Shakespeare's sonnet number 8, in which Shakespeare describes the emotional impact of music and music's ability to take the listener and the performer to a whole nother realm, if you will, of a place where hearts and minds come together in a almost a spiritual way, something that's really only possible in the art form of music.
If Tucson listeners would like to sample your music, there's a great opportunity coming up, a chance to really hear the a group that I believe is the first group ever to really have a Grammy nomination. You're going to be performing several locations.
Yes, it is my understanding that we are the first ensemble in Tucson to be nominated for a Grammy, and we're just really excited about that. And we are in these season finale concerts coming up. We're partnering with another Grammy nominee, actually. He's a local composer. His name is Sheldon Curry. He's has quite an eclectic background. He's worked with symphonic organizations across the country. He's partnered with Willie Nelson and all kinds of stars out there. He himself garnered a Grammy nomination as a composer and arranger. He's best known for one of the pieces that was used in a movie. Down to the River to Pray, and Sheldon is writing a piece. He has written it. We're about to embark on it. That is a musical depiction of the Sonoran Desert. It involves it's in three movements, and it has three languages, which are meant to represent the three major languages here in the Sonoran Desert. The first movement has a poem by Ophelia Zepeda, who's a MacArthur Fellow at the U of A, and she has adapted her O'odham poem for this work, which we will be singing in O'odham. This will be a first for us.
Wow, that's going to be very interesting.
Yes, thankfully, yeah. Dr. Zepeda is going to coach us on that.
Okay.
And then we have an Octavio Paz text that we'll sing in Spanish, and then a Yeats poem that we'll sing in English. And again, it's to represent this place. It has Hispanic and Native American musical elements and an Anglo hymn in the third movement. Meant to celebrate this great place and the various constituents and populations that are fortunate to call this place home and share it.
And you have four performances, Friday, April 1st through Sunday, April 3rd. You've got four different venues.
Yes, and that is that's part of what has made our group unique and successful. We perform in all areas of the community. It's sort of music where you live idea, or bringing the music to the people.
Bringing the music to the people.
Exactly, exactly.
You are at the Scottish Rite Temple in downtown Tucson Friday, April 1st at 7:30. Saturday, 7 o'clock in the evening, St. Francis in the Valley. South La Cañada in Green Valley. So you're going down to Green Valley. So again, bringing the music to the people. Sunday afternoon at 3 over at Grace St. Paul's Episcopal Church on East Adams by the Arizona Inn. And then that evening, Episcopal Church of the Apostles, again on La Cholla Boulevard, that in Oro Valley.
Yes, and we're delighted to bring this music that celebrates this place to those various locations. Also on the program, we're doing some Bernstein, some Barber, Copeland. And by the way, Bill, this is the 125th anniversary of the birth of Cole Porter. So we're going to close out the concert with two arrangements of his beloved pieces, I've Got You Under My Skin and It's the Lovely.
Very nice. The name of the album is?
The album is called Far in the Heavens. And the main piece, as I mentioned, on the album is Prayers and Remembrances, and that's the one that got the Grammy Award.
And the genesis, and I'm just about out of time, Eric, but the genesis for this group, what did you envision when all of this came about in around 2004?
Well, it occurred to me that we're fortunate to have a professional symphony orchestra, a professional theater company, dance, ballet company, and opera company, but that we didn't have a professional chamber choir and orchestra in Southern Arizona. And so I'd had always dreamed of having an ensemble like that. It seemed like there was a need right here in Southern Arizona. And as I was finishing up my graduate studies at the U of A, I thought, what the heck, I'm going to give it a shot. And it's gone pretty well.
Best place to talk about tickets would be the website?
Yeah, which is trueconcord.org.
All right, trueconcord.org. And I want to wish you all the best, Eric Holden. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
You've done great things here, and it's a tribute to you and the work of the group, and it's put Tucson on the map, so to speak.
Well, I'd like to think that it's advanced our reputation as a center for musical excellence and the arts, and we couldn't do without the wonderful support of this community.
Eric Holden with us on The Buckmaster Show. All right. Thank you very much, Eric.
Thank you, Bill.
Coming up this afternoon for Tucson at 4, Mike Shaw will be here, and of course Ray Allen will be engineering and producing that show. Ray will be back with me at 12:04 for the Buckmaster Show on a Thursday. We've got 3 hours of local talk in the morning from 6 to 9, and then it's Prager, and then it's Buckmaster again for the Thursday edition. Until then, have a great afternoon and evening.